And it's my pleasure to welcome WMUK's theater reviewer, Gordon Bolar, retired from WMUK as general manager, and you've been off on many adventures since the last time I saw you, and you came back with a little bit of a cold there, but I hope
a little bit of a head cold, and also cheering my LSU Tigers on to their national football championship last night over Clemson. So I have two reasons why my voice sounds like it does.
Now you said this is only good. The fourth time in how many years that they've
Well, four national championships in my lifetime, but you know who's counting.
Well, Gordon, it's a delight to see you on this dreary January morning, and I hope that we'll bring some light and good ideas to folks who want to plan out some activity over the next few months.
Well, they won't have any problem in planning their theater visit. You know, I had some words kind of come to me from an old song as I was looking over this array of shows that we have, musicals and straight plays and new plays and original plays, and it's from a Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel song from Dangling Conversation back in the 60s. I know I'm kind of dating myself, but it goes like this. Yes, we speak of things that matter with words that must be said. Can analysis be worthwhile? Is the theater really dead? And we used to laugh about that when I was in college, kind of in the theater department. I can answer that question for Kalamazoo. No, it's not dead. It's alive. It's well. It's vibrant. It's dynamic. And we're going to see many of the reasons why as we run through the schedule of shows to see for winter and spring today.
So our plan is to go theater by theater and look at their schedule and see what there is to see, make a few notes on the significance about of these productions in some cases. I've already looked through several of these, and one of the high points for me is I have never seen so many female authors in quite a while, and it shows how vibrant and
Female authors and female authors from diverse communities as well. So we're going to talk about that. It is a diverse array, and I think it's an exciting array. Let's launch right into the Civic. I know you talked about Tick, Tick, Boom, that's on right now, but the next show on the bill for the Civic is going to be Born Yesterday, and many people, including you and I, have seen the old Broderick Crawford, Judy Holliday.
And William Holden.
And William Holden movie, Born Yesterday.
Yeah.
I think based on the Broadway play. That is a straight play, and it's an old chestnut, but the thing about Born Yesterday is it's still relevant today, especially in the current political era. I'm not going to get into politics, but just the political era within Washington, D.C., because it's about someone who comes to Washington, D.C. to kind of make a crooked deal, buy power, influence government, and well, the rest is within the play. It's a comedy, and I think that'll be one of the shows that I review for WMUK. I'm looking forward to see it on the Civic main stage, I believe it is.
The main character, I think, is Judy Holliday character.
It is.
Where she starts off an ignorant showgirl and has to acquire a whole lot of understanding and self-knowledge and world knowledge by the end of the show.
Yeah, she appears at first to be an airhead, but grows, as you say, within the show. And that's always good to see that on stage, is character growth and change over time and circumstances. And you certainly see it here in a comedy that I think will just be what the doctor ordered come about late January.
That's Born Yesterday at the Kalamazoo Civic.
And then Romance Guaranteed, a new play by, or at least it's new to Kalamazoo, by Art Nimitz. That's going to be in the Carver Studio, and they've been doing some new plays up there. I'm always glad to see new plays done. And it's a couple on their first date at a Detroit Italian restaurant, so it has a Michigan setting, and I think there's an online dating site that's brought them together, and the romance kind of grows from there with, well, missteps and starts and all that. So that's a comedy, and it'll be at the Civic.
I know that sometimes you get an early peek at playwrights' material by being a playwright yourself, sharing your own work. I wondered if you knew whether Art and Emmett's had been working on this for a long time, or is this...
It has been done, I think, in some other... I saw a note from someone who saw it in Cadillac, and I think he shared it with some other community theaters within Michigan. So Art's an active playwright, and we're glad to see that on the stage at the Civic. Romance guaranteed. Where else? When else? Valentine's Day. The perfect time for that. And then we're going to radically shift and turn the page to David Mamet, mature audiences.
I've heard of him.
The Parish Theater, Glengarry Glen Ross,
yeah,
American
yeah.
Buffalo, Speed the Plow, Play Like Oleana, which Mamet gets this wedge, and he loves to just drive a wedge right down the middle of the audience. And we had a situation in Oleana, which I saw, it must have been 30 years ago, not in the production I saw, but I heard reported productions in which couples would leave in separate cabs. They would be arguing with each other so much because it's about supposed an allegation of sexual harassment by a professor on a student who's messing up his plans for tenure. Is it just that her complaints be, move forward or not? And so that's the kind of, that's what Mamet does within the audience. He really tests your values, especially on social issues.
That's kind of a gift to be able to do that.
And here we've got a social issue, sex, guilt, two lawyers defending a wealthy white executive charged with assaulting a black woman. And it's about what we think but can't say. And that's David Mamet. So it could be a bumpy ride, but always an interesting ride. Never a dull moment with social issues for David Mamet. I think he's one of our best writers and kind of a Chicago-based playwright. And he's also written some novels. But I'm glad to see his work on the stage, continuing to make the stage.
It's a highlight of the Kalamazoo Civic season. It'll be staged in the smaller Parish Theater.
It will be.
February 28th. And I don't know that we mentioned the title. Oh, we could mention it again.
I'm sorry. Race.
Race.
I'm sorry if I
David
didn't mention
Mamet.
That. Yeah.
And it's recommended for mature audiences. I'm with Gordon Bolar, and we are looking at many of the productions that are coming up in the next few months and in a variety of theaters across West Michigan. And we're starting off here with the Kalamazoo Civic. What's another highlight for you?
Well, another highlight is Andrew Lloyd Webber's Sunset Boulevard. Here we have another work based on a movie.
Yeah, I've seen that one
previous
too.
Way. I've seen that
many
movie.
Times.
Ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Yes.
And everyone knows that line. And so this is the story of Norman Desmond with a tale told by a dead man. Don't think I'm giving anything away there. Joe Gillis, who kind of takes up with her and gets used to the luxurious lifestyle, and then I think kind of falls in love and really can't break away from Norma's web that she spins in trapping him. And it is a musical, lush lyrics and music by Andrew Lloyd Webber. In fact, book and lyric by Don Black and one of my favorites, Christopher Hampton. And so I think we'll be listening to a cut from that. But I'm looking forward to seeing that on the Civic main stage.
I know that this story is about a woman, a former legend, former silent film star in the movie. And there's already kind of legends grown up about the theater production. I probably started in London and moved to Broadway, but Patti LuPone,
she powerhouse.
She was the in mind for Andrew Lloyd Webber when he created this, and I do believe there was a falling out there. Good to go back and read some of that gossip, but.
And Glenn Close did the part too on the stage.
Of course, that's right.
Won some Tonys and.
Well, I think what I wanted to point out, though, is that it takes a strong woman to handle this role. I'm looking forward to seeing who the Civic will cast because it's a make-or-break moment, I would think.
Well, they have done well with their casting in the past of strong leads. We've seen, MAME and Hello, Dolly, and last year, We saw War Paint with another Patti LuPone role with two strong women, two strong leads. What, Helena Rubinstein and I'm trying to remember the other ones. But, you know, they've got a good track record. So it's a promising musical coming up for the Civic in May.
Let's hear a highlight from the soundtrack to Sunset Boulevard by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And we will hear Patti LuPone singing this song.
I don't know why I'm frightened. I know my way around here. The cardboard trees, the painted seas, the sound here. Yes, our world to rediscover. But I'm not in any hurry. And I need a goodbye. Yes, everything's as if we never said goodbye.
From the soundtrack to Sunset Boulevard by Andrew Lloyd Webber, we heard As If We Never Said Goodbye. That's the powerful voice of Patti LuPone, and the Kalamazoo Civic will stage Sunset Boulevard starting May 1st. And I'm here with our WMUK theater reviewer, Gordon Bolar, to talk about the season of the Civic and many other theaters in West Michigan this hour. I just want to remind listeners that the Kalamazoo Civic box office or the website, kazoocivic.com, if you want to follow up on any of the productions we just mentioned.
And what a vibrant season it is. I mentioned early on, no, the theater is not dead in Kalamazoo. It's alive and well. How do I know that? Well, you've got a play coming up at Farmer's Alley that we're going to talk about. Beginning February 7th, directed by D. Terry Williams, called The Cake by Becca Brunstetter. And that's a play. If it's not ripped from the headlines, it's certainly based on some stories we've seen in the headlines and court cases in which someone is baking a cake, and there's a same-sex couple, and, you know, how do they proceed with that, with a same-sex marriage that the cake is being baked for?
Right.
It's one of those human values in the headlines kind of stories that we see. And so it's about Della, who has a North Carolina bakery, and she's legendary, and she's in a television baking competition, but then she's going to be baking this cake for her late best friend's daughter and her female partner in their wedding. So that kind of puts the strictures on human values in that arena, and I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the, there are several plays I'm looking forward to. That's one straight play. I'll use the term straight loosely. Straight play that I'm looking forward to. I hope to review that at Farmer's Alley on February the 7th.
Becca Brunstetter, the name of the playwright, and she is in a career that spans both theater and television?
Yeah. This Is Us, the TV series.
She writes for that?
I think, yeah. I'm not that familiar with that series, but, you know, I've heard of the play, and I'm glad it's coming to Kalamazoo. Again, contemporary issues on the stage, that's what keeps a theater vibrant, and that's what we're going to see in other theaters as well coming up, but that's certainly one that's on at Farmer's Alley. And then we've got Lost in Yonkers, Neil Simon's Pulitzer Prize winner.
You must be pretty familiar with this one.
I've seen it before, and I'm familiar with it in this way. It has, to me, the most memorable Neil Simon character. And there's a lot of Neil Simon characters when you think about it. But he's got this old woman who's the grandma, Grandma Kernitz, and she kind of dominates the family with not a lot of words, but her presence is just palpable on the stage. And that's what I remember about Lost in Yonkers, that one character. Now, it you know, there are funny moments. There's character, the characters in it, certainly, who are comic that we're going to see. But the grandmother, for me, is one of Neil Simon's most memorable creations.
That starts March 13th at Farmers Alley Theater, and farmersalleytheater.com is the website to visit in order to see the full lineup of their season. Lost in Yonkers, as you said, Pulitzer Prize winner. There's also, he wrote a character who is mentally challenged in this
show that
you don't see that very often.
No,
either.
No, you don't. Yeah. And that's kind of what sticks out to me about this one for Neil Simon. You know, it's not The Odd Couple, and it's not, you know, Last of the Red Hot Lovers. It's got some real serious human issues and challenges for characters going on within it. Some notes that maybe aren't sounded in some of Neil Simon's earlier work. So then we're going to go to Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, a play by Lanny Robertson with adult language and situations. And this one is a collaboration with the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. They seem to do this every other year.
Every couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find a way to bring music or a piano. Somehow
a keyboard they find it on stage,
with a marvelous story. It's been, one was about a piano teacher and a student, and another was this madcap murder mystery. And
yeah.
Now we have a biography of Billie Holiday.
Yeah, and there's going to be up and down notes in this one. Billie Holiday, of course, in some of the last few weeks or months of her life, battling drugs, battling alcohol, but singing the songs, and they're in a seedy bar. This is a vehicle that Audra McDonald did on Broadway and won, you know, several Tonys with it. That was what Bill Cosby's, you know, play on wife in the Cosby Show, I think. But she was in it and did it. Quite an actress, but it will be, I'm sure, a demanding role. I'm sure Farmer's Alley will be up to it. We've seen them do before, you know, stories of what Judy Garland, and there are a number of other musicals that are kind of bio jukebox musicals of female performers' lives. Of course, in the Oscars right now, we look at Judy with Renee Zellweger. And, you know, last year at the Civic, we saw Rosemary Clooney's that show.
Tenderly,
and Patsy
yeah.
Cline. So there are a number of those, you know, singer or songwriter bios. Carole King is another one.
One thing that Rob and Adam Weiner are often proud to mention when I talk to them is that Farmers Alley is an equity theater, which means they're allied with the Actors Union, and therefore actors from across the country can audition to perform.
And, that is true.
And it's very often that we see someone from L.A. or New York on stage at Farmers Alley.
And the level of performance and delivery is very high, and they meet those standards.
That's Farmers Alley featuring which will be featuring the show Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill in April during the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. I have a Billie Holiday song here queued up, God Bless the Child, which I believe was written by Billie Holiday with Arthur Herzog.
Yes.
Her lyrics. And I'm sure she recorded it many, many a time. This is from Billie Holiday, Lady in Autumn, the best of the Verve years.
Them that's got shall have, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. He just don't worry about nothing, 'cause he's got his own. Yes, he's got his own.
Well, that certainly gets us right into that mood to hear more Billie Holiday.
It really does. It really does. So they'll conclude their season, at least for the summer, I think in June, with Bright Star, a musical by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell. Adult Language and Situations. It's a tale of love and redemption against the backdrop of the American South, with a soldier just home from World War II and meets up with a literary editor. And this is a musical, I think, that's more acoustic-based,
guitar, banjo, kind of thing,
folk Appalachian setting. I think
that makes it really stand out. I've certainly never gone to a musical that featured banjo obbligato throughout.
It's relatively new. Not many people have heard too much about it, but we're looking forward to seeing that.
That's Bright Star at Farmers Alley Theater.
Starting in June. So good season there. Again, vibrant theater continues. Let's look at the University Theater's schedule here. I will be reviewing Blood at the Root by Dominique Morisseau, and that is Adult Situations. That is an African-American playwright. She is an African-American playwright with Detroit roots, and she's written a kind of a Detroit trilogy. In fact, one of her shows was staged, I believe, by Face Off 2 or 3 years ago, Sunset Baby. I didn't see it, but I heard good things about it. She's an important playwright with, again, Detroit roots. And again, here we have the kind of story, if not ripped from the headlines, at least based on what you've seen in the headlines. Six black students charged with attempted murder after a school fight, after being provoked by nooses hanging from a tree on campus. Now, we've seen stories kind of like that in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And again, here we have this examination of current contemporary social issues. Okay. We also have a female African-American playwright. And if you look at the whole schedule, you and I were just talking, boy, you look at the Oscars and all of the oversights, and didn't get that many female directors, and there seemed to be a lot of people left out. Here in this season in Kalamazoo, we have so many female directors, playwrights included, stories about females, also communities like, you know, the African American community, the LGBT community, they're going to be represented. So that, again, is a reason why I say, no, the theater's not dead in this town. It's vibrant. It's ongoing. It's current. It's contemporary.
It's so, taking chances.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing that work. Then we've got Restoration Comedy. And I'm a fan of Restoration Comedy. That's the comedy that occurred generally between, 1660, after Charles II was restored to the throne in England.
Oh.
sexual situations, licentiousness, and all sorts of things that were not found in the previous Puritan era. But this is a contemporary take on Restoration Comedy. It's kind of a Restoration Comedy made maybe based on one kind of like Cibber's Love Last Shift from 1696, if you know your theater history. Well, I kind of like this period, so I'm interested in this show. But it's written by a 21st century playwright, Amy Freed, with kind of an eye to 21st century situations. I've always thought there was a connection between, you know, current times and the Restoration. So
you'd expect it to be kind of frivolous and frothy and farcical, or?
Well, yeah, definitely Adult Situations will be seen. And, you know, it's the Restoration here and today. We've got a man who learns his wife is dead, and then he sets out on this hedonistic journey, but he comes back to find that she's alive. And then the real action begins. So that's Restoration Comedy at the University Theater. Moving on in March, we've got Tribes, another female playwright, Nina Rain, about a deaf member of a dysfunctional family. And she's the only deaf member of a loving but dysfunctional family. And she meets a young woman who is the only hearing member of a deaf family. So it explores the meaning of belonging. It should be very interesting. Again, another community here represented, the non-hearing community on stage. We've seen other plays in the past, you know, Children of a Lesser God, I guess, is one that comes to mind from back in the 60s or 70s. But here's one again on the university stage.
This one, it sounds important and also relatable because everyone gets cast in their own roles in their family.
Yeah.
This person can't hear and is raised as someone who can hear, is my understanding. Not provided with the tools of the deaf community, but rather taught to lip read and try to conform to his hearing family. And by meeting this new person who did come from a deaf family and knows that culture, your loving family that took care of you, suddenly you see them in a whole different way. It's very kind of relatable because we do get stuck in our assumptions about sisters and brothers and mom and dad and things like that.
Well, one more reason why I say we've got a vibrant scene in this, vibrant theater scene in this town. And one big reason coming up, if you ask me one show I'm looking forward to, Kara, it's Sunday in the Park with George, Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine. A musical that, as far as I know, has not been on the stage in this town in 30 years. I could be wrong, but just in a few calls I've made, I don't know of another production. Of course, it's based on the painting, the Pointillist painting by George Seurat, which is a Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jetée, which hangs in the Chicago Institute of Art, or the Art Institute of Chicago, excuse me, I need to say that correctly. And it's, I think, one of the great musicals, you know, of the 20th century. It's just so unique in its presentation because characters come alive in the painting, step in and out of it, have their own song to sing or their own tale to tell as George paints it. And
Sondheim is not easy.
No.
And that may be a contributing factor that we don't see a whole lot of Sondheim being staged.
No, we don't.
Technically difficult. The themes, though, are some that you can't find in regular musicals. He's talking about what it is to be an artist.
Yeah.
In this piece. And it's good and bad and many, and the artist Seurat is an can't break through to being famous, and the later character in the second half is famous but doesn't know what to do now with his fame.
Yeah, and in the second act it shifts, you know, what, it's 80 years, to almost 100 years forward, the Chicago Institute of Art, Institute of Chicago again, you know, in which they're analyzing this painting, and you get the technique of pointillism, which is kind of raised really to another level in terms of, you know, the characters' lives. It's a wonderful musical. It's going to be directed by Jay Berkow, and boy, everything I've seen by Jay has just been incredible on the university stage and on other stages, too. I mean, he came over to the Civic and directed Billy Elliot, and he's directed other around this town. So looking forward to that musical on the university stage, Sunday in the Park with George.
Well, you have a little time to plan. It's in April, and it finishes up the university theater season. You can find the website easily, wmutheater.com, where the full schedule is posted, and you can browse there. Let's hear a quick number, Finishing the Hat.
Yeah.
From Sunday in the Park with George, Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine. ¶¶
mademoiselles. You and me, pal. Second bottle. Ah, she looks for me. Bonnet flapping. Yapping. Roof! Chicken. Pastry. Standing by, mapping out the sky, finishing a hat, starting on a hat, finishing a hat. Look, I made a hat. Where there never was a hat.
From Sunday in the Park with George, it's Stephen Sondheim's musical with words by James Lapine, and it doesn't get staged that often.
No.
So Gordon Bolar and I are happy to see it on the schedule for the University Theater.
Looking forward to that production, really, at the University Theater.
Where do we go from here?
Well, let's talk about Queer Theater Kalamazoo. We have another female playwright coming up in March for Queer Theater Kalamazoo, Man and Moon, and it takes place in an oncology unit waiting room. And there's a transgender man and a young girl who share their dreams and fears and their humor. Chicago playwright Sienna Ledger takes us on this journey through the solar system. I'm not sure how this works. I'm intrigued by this play.
Yeah.
This might be, well, one of the shows that I'm going to review or want to review, but it's certainly on my list there, and I look forward to it. Queer Theater at Kalamazoo has been doing some exciting work in the past several years, and had a collaboration with Face Off Theater in L. This summer, saw that. That was very interesting. Then they're also doing in June, She Kills Monsters. And this kind of is a Dungeons and Dragons kind of play that comes out of a Dungeons and Dragons notebook. When Agnes stumbles on her late sister Tilly's Dungeons and Dragons notebook, she gets more than she bargained for. And it's an imaginative journey, sword fights, homicidal fairies. Boy, I'm not sure. It's a fantastical marathon.
What were you saying about theater being the most interesting
art
form going?
Again, it's not dead in this town. It's vibrant. And we're going to see that on the stage of Queer Theater Kalamazoo. We've also got What to Do Theater. They have moved to downtown Battle Creek from their previous residence, but they're doing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee in June.
It's really worth mentioning that not all theater companies in West Michigan conform to the winter or the fall and winter season.
Right.
There's a significant overlap where, you know, you can find some of the smaller and possibly more interesting, more risk-taking productions during the times when the sort of conventional or more established long-running theaters have their seasons.
And I'm waiting to see what two theaters are going to announce. They will probably be doing that in the next month. Ghostlight Theater out in the Benton Harbor area. Benton Harbor and St. Joe. And also a theater that I did review, Moon Over Buffalo, the Great Escape Theater in Marshall. They've been doing some interesting work, and I look forward to seeing what they're going to do. And as you said, they probably announce their season in a calendar year manner rather than a spring-fall kind of thing. And we don't know what The Barn is doing yet, or Mason Street Warehouse. Both of those, I believe, are Equity companies, generally announcing their seasons April, probably May, for the summer. So we've got that to look forward to. And then we've got Kalamazoo College. They're doing some interesting work. Again, here we have a play about women by a woman, Lauren Gunderson, written Silent Sky. That's on in February in the Kalamazoo College stage. A group of female astronomers this kind of reminds me of Hidden Figures in a way.
Oh, yeah.
They're women who are kind of behind the scenes discovering new things about space and astronomy and space phenomenon. It's based on actual real female astronomers at the Harvard Observatory at the turn of the 20th century.
And not a lot of computers back then, so
No. They
were probably doing a whole lot of taking readings and graphing and just kind of tedious number work. But
how do you bring that to life on stage? Well, we're going to find out on the Kalamazoo College stage, Silent Sky by Lauren Gunderson. And then we've got, directed by guest artist Bianca Washington, Water by the Spoonful by... I hope I can pronounce this right, Chiara Alegria Hudis. That was a play actually done at Western. I saw it at the University Theater about 3 years ago, and it is a Pulitzer Prize winner from 2012. It takes place in a kind of a chat room for addicts.
Oh.
And it's about finding your family, not necessarily out of blood relatives, but out of the people who give you what you need and support you in the way that you need to be supported. It's a different kind of play in terms of staging.
Of all the titles that we've been listing, I find...
Water by the Spoonful.
I find that to be one of the most captivating. Drink water, I drink it by the glassful.
Yeah.
But this idea of only being nourished a little by a spoon, it sets you up for
it. It does, and there's certainly a connection there in the title with addiction and what these people are dealing with and how they're kind of staving that off. Some of them in a white knuckle kind of manner in this chat room, and you see them, it bounces around the country, obviously. You know, they're on phones, they're on computers, and, it's kind of almost somewhere out there in cyberspace that they're meeting.
Huh.
So, interesting show. That will be directed by Bianca Washington in May at Kalamazoo College.
Wonderful.
And then we come to the Miller Auditorium season. They're certainly doing another Andrew Lloyd Webber, Cats in May, but before that, my focus is more on March and the musical Waitress.
I've heard of Waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one person identified with Waitress. I think she's the lead character and singer and wrote the show. Her name is Sarah Bareilles.
Yes.
Sort of made her famous.
Yeah. And booked by Jesse Nelson. And, this is another musical, like we saw with Sunset Boulevard, based on a film.
Ah.
It was first a film in 2007. I have not seen it. I've seen a few scenes from it. But it's about a waitress who has a talent for baking pies. Well, we saw a cake baker earlier on.
Farmer's Alley.
With the cake. Yeah. And here we see pies featured. So baking, a big part of what's going on stage. But more to the point... The waitress in this, the lead character, does not have a very happy home life. Jenna Hunterson seems to have, in fact, a pretty bad home life. There is spousal abuse. She has a very unhappy marriage and begins an affair with her doctor, becomes pregnant, and has to find a kind of a way out of all this, and baking a pie seems to be a possible answer in a pie contest. And it's a musical. It had some success on Broadway. Now it's touring. I'm glad to see it come to Kalamazoo, and we'll see how it does with the Broadway touring company that's going to produce it for two or three nights in March.
Oh, if I may interject, I think I know something you might not be
aware
of. Musical Waitress was on Broadway and then toured, as you said. And the guy in the pit, the music director, is from Kalamazoo. His name's Rob Cookman, and Rob was a member keyboard on of Knee Deep Shag, which was a huge band in the 90s.
I've actually heard of that.
And Rob is now one of the top music directors for national tours and for other productions. He was in Toronto with Waitress not too long ago. I think he moved on to something else. But there's a Kalamazoo connection to this, you know, national touring production.
That's great.
Of Waitress.
A Kalamazoo connection there.
Yeah.
Well, here, you know, we may not have listed every show that's coming up. But I will repeat what I always say when I come on and talk about theater in Kalamazoo, other than it's vibrant and dynamic. You know, if you can't find something to see in the theater in spring and this spring and winter, you aren't trying very hard.
You're not looking very
because
close
you've
enough.
Really got a lot of choices, you know, from the old chestnuts to the masters of musical theater with Sondheim and Weber, to some of the great contemporary playwrights, David Mamet, new plays, new playwrights. We haven't even talked about Theater Kalamazoo's new play fest that's in mid-February. So please, there's, you know, there are listings. You've given some of them, but the stages here need to be seen.
If you've only heard part of this interview, you can go back and hear the whole thing and get a full flavor of what's going on when it's posted later today online. We have just a short amount of time, but there's a burning question for me, Gordon, since you're so in love with theater and enjoy going to see these productions. What is the best night? Just like the second day that it's opened, or the second weekend? What is your preference when you, as a, you know, consumer?
Well, you know, I mean, you've been in musicals too. You've played in the pit, and you know that it depends on the show and the kind of vibe that's out there, and the weather, and, you know, who's well and who's sick and how many people are coughing in the audience. That's the thing about live theater. You just can't tell. I cannot say, oh, go opening night because there's a special vibe. Sometimes it shows better on the second night.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, they've peaked and it's all downhill from there. That's the beauty of it. You can't pin it down. That's what is so wonderful about live theater. Every show is going to be a little different, and the vibe in the house is going to be a little bit different, as is the vibe on stage and backstage.
Well,
just
said.
Don't miss taking part in something. See it some night. That would be my admonition to anyone.
Well, I'm sorry to end our time together. It flew by.
It's been great.
I hope you'll come back soon, and we can go over some other things. And, of course, listen for your reviews during Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
They will be.
On a regular basis. So, well, that's it for us today.
Thank you for having me, Kara.